Hello, friends. Welcome back to Into the Void. I'm your host, Scott Ferdella. It is a beautiful Friday afternoon, August the 3rd. I'm trying this new thing where I record whenever it's convenient for both myself and the guest so that we never ever miss a week again. Of course, that means that by the time you might all hear this, a few days could have passed and the current events might not be quite as current, but hey, something's got to give. First things first, Feet Socks sponsor this podcast, and they sell some pretty darn nice socks, if I may say so myself. I have quite a growing collection now. I wear them literally every day. So go to feetsocks.com, that's FEATsocks.com, to browse their selection. But be sure to follow the link in my bio on Instagram at Scott Ferdella or at Into the Void Podcast to instantly receive $20 off your first purchase. Go check those out now. I'm sure you'll find something you like. My guest today is Annika Bunkus. If that name sounds familiar at all, it's because I just talked about her 2 weeks ago. Annika was our whitewater rafting guide at Wilderness Tours. I reached out to her after the bachelor party and asked her if she'd like to come on the podcast because I think they have such a unique kind of bohemian lifestyle. And she has a really fun and exciting job, but really also has its challenging moments, potentially dire consequences if things aren't done correctly. So I wanted to talk to her about that and everything that goes along with her job title, how she got into adventure tourism, and, you know, everything. So I was really excited to talk to her. I hope you guys are excited to listen. This is Annika Bunkus. Enjoy. We are live. Annika Bunkus. Awesome. Did I say your name right? Is it Bunkus?
Yeah, Annika Bunkus.
Okay, cool. Annika Bunkus. Yeah. Thank you for coming on. So,
anytime.
You were our whitewater rafting guide at Wilderness Tours 2 weeks ago, my brother's bachelor party. There's 12 of us. How did you get into it?
Oh, that's an interesting story. So, I actually go to school to be a whitewater raft guide.
Okay. So,
yeah, it's pretty awesome. I go to college, and there's kind of an outdoor adventure tourism program that I take. So it's a two-year diploma program. I'm going into my second year. I just finished my first year. And I got into that after a few years of university. Decided sitting at a desk was, like, it was good, but I wanted a little more. So I found this outdoor adventure college program. And I was like, okay, let's give this a shot. And it's such a cool program. We're doing, like, swift water rescue technician training. We spent a month doing whitewater raft guide training at Wilderness Tours in the fall. So all my instructors were people like that you probably saw on the river guiding with me.
Yeah. And have you like always been kind of outdoorsy and like into rafting or into kayaking or whatever?
Rafting, not necessarily. I was a canoe instructor all throughout high school and growing up.
Okay.
I did a little bit of whitewater canoeing, but kayaking, I just started this past year, so still a relative rookie in that area.
And how long have you been doing, like, rafting trips?
Rafting? I'm going to be honest. This was my first year working for Wilderness Tours.
That's awesome. So what, do you have, like, a number of rafting trips that you, like, you're at? Do you keep a tally?
I do keep a logbook. Yeah. I cannot tell you the number off the top of my head, but in this past week alone, I've probably done about four, in the past, like 6 days.
Yeah. So, and when we say that, it's a fairly, like, it sounds like a relatively small number, but, again, if you listen to the last podcast, where we talked about it, it's like a 4 or 5 hour trip, right? Each time.
Yeah. 5 hour for a full day trip. And then we also have like a 3 hour express trip where you don't stop, you don't have lunch. You're just going right from the put in to the takeout.
See, that seems like it'd be exhausting. Like, I get that people would want to do that, but then also the people who think it's going to be a shorter trip, are they not working harder because it's 3 hours and you're just paddling the whole time?
Well, you're still covering the same distance. Yeah, they are definitely, we're getting them to paddle a lot more.
Yeah.
But, like, when we stop for lunch, we probably stop for about an hour at the lunch site.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an hour to eat and then corralling everyone back to the boats. That slowly adds up. So.
Yeah, for sure it does. The number of times that we stopped. But I remember a couple of the guys in our boat were not keen on paddling the entire time. There was there was a couple moments where they were just like gassed after, you know, they'd put in like 10 strokes and be like, all right, break time.
Oh yeah. And especially on the Ottawa River where we do our paddling, there's a lot of flat water sections. So you're constantly like, all right guys, like I have us in the current. We're not doing a lot of work,
yeah,
but we still have to work.
What's the hardest part of that job?
Well, like you could come at that from different angles. Like learning to read the water is really, really hard. We learned about reading water in school and all that kind of stuff. And I came into this year working at Wilderness Tours thinking like, oh yeah, I know how to do this. But no, like the learning to read water and actually guiding the rapids. You think you know what you're doing, but the river will constantly surprise you. So that's hard in a sense. You always have to be on. You like it's different every single day, even from morning to night.
Describe.
But it's also, yeah.
Describe what that is then. Reading the water. Like, what do you mean?
Okay, so there's different features in a rapid, and the water will flow differently at different water levels as well. So you have to change up the route you're going to take in the raft, even like within a couple hours if the water level changes. Mm-hmm. You want to avoid certain spots, you want to hit it with correct angle, because if we're going into a big wave and I don't have the right angle, that's going to cause us to flip, or that's going to cause us to surf or send us in the wrong direction.
Right,
so you always have to be reading that.
Yeah, and yep. It seemed like obviously there's just photos, but in the photos that I bought them afterwards, it seemed like a lot of, and not to downplay your role, but a lot of what you were doing was steering the boat, and not to say that's all you were doing, but it seemed like a big part of your job is just kind of directing where we're going.
Yeah, you guys are the like manpower. I'm just sitting there turning it left and right.
Yeah.
Like I know the route to take, but you guys get me there. Hmm. So like I tee up everything, but I would not be able to do it without you.
Okay, so what are you looking for when you're reading the water?
What am I looking for? Well, what someone actually told me recently is you want to look to the part of the wave you want to hit and kind of read backwards. So you'll see where the water is flowing and you'll see different eddy lines. So we kind of talked a little bit about eddies when we were rafting together, but eddies are essentially calm pools of water that are created behind, like, say, a rock or a little island. So the current keeps flowing past the island, and behind the island is this little calm section.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be like little micro eddies throughout and alongside like the rapids. You want to read those. You want to read different features. So what's a wave and what's a hole? So a hole was what we were surfing in the very last thing we were doing on our rafting trip. Which if you hit with the wrong angle, as you know, and as you described in the last podcast, not super fun.
That's where we almost flipped. Yeah. That was, I mean, it was fun, but yeah, potentially dangerous, I guess.
Oh yeah. You don't want to be stuck in a hole, especially a hole like what we're circulating in or what we were surfing in. It's a recirculating hole. So it will hold you there. The water's flowing over like a rock or whatever and just recirculating. And when we like kind of tipped, we had a really heavy boat and the right side, so the side that was kind of stuck in the hole, I think was a bit heavier than our left side. So we were almost vertical at one point. And that's, to be honest, one of the only times that I've surfed that bowl that I was like, oh, we're going for a swim. And you really don't want to flip there. So when I was like, oh, that was crazy. Yeah, I was a little nervous for a sec.
You were nervous. See, we didn't know enough to be nervous, I think. We were just like, oh, shit, this is crazy. But, yeah, you were probably like, oh, dear God, we're going under.
Oh, ignorance is bliss in certain situations.
It really was. Because I remember, like I said in a few podcasts ago, I was like, afterwards, you described like, yeah, so you really don't want to go under there because you could drown. We're like, oh shit. It's probably better we didn't know that much.
You won't necessarily drown because someone will come get you, but you're not gonna have a good time for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It was fun. I don't know, we all loved it. It was a blast. And yeah, as I described, like, it's not, it, there's kayakers and people watching and people with ropes and stuff like that. So it's as safe as it can be in that situation. So it's like climbing Everest where they carve out a path for you. It's, you know, it's adventure tourism. It's made safe, as safe as
it can be. Oh, yeah. And all our raft guides go through swift water rescue technician training. And our kayakers are some of the best kayakers in the world. So they're amazing.
Yeah. So, and one of the other things I described about your job in the previous podcast was that it must be not only physically exhausting because you're paddling for, you know, sometimes up to 10 hours a day or 8 hours a day, but then you're also having to entertain. And like, we were pretty easygoing group, I think, but like, God, even just that, to be entertaining and like on and charismatic for 8 hours a day is fucking exhausting. It must be, right?
I don't find that part actually that bad. I like hanging out with people. So
yeah.
Like, especially if I have a good group like you guys, it's super easy because it's just, I'm just hanging out with friends for the day. But if I do have a group that doesn't want to talk,
yeah,
or like, it's just like, we're not connecting well.
Not jiving, like, oh, exactly, okay, yeah.
That's rough. Or if like I have a family and the daughter falls out on one rapid and I get her back in and the dad's obviously not happy with me, I'm like, well, okay, this is going to be a fun rest of the day.
I mean, well, so. And also, like, what did you expect? I mean, you came on a whitewater rafting trip. It's always a possibility that you're going to go for a swim. I don't know. I would think.
Yeah, but some people don't always realize that. Like, yeah. It's the same with the paddling. You give them a paddle and they're like, what are we supposed to do with that? It's like, no, you're paddling for this. You're working the entire time. And
yeah. I mean, did you think you booked the wrong tour?
They'll show up in like dresses and stuff. It's like, no, you're going to get wet. You're going to go in the river.
I remember that happened when we were in the Dominican. Joe and I, and I think Mitch was with, but anyway, we took the dune buggies out. And if you've ever been to the Dominican, that you just basically go mudding in dune buggies. And it had just rained. So like in the Caribbean, it's like torrential downpour when it rains. So it had just rained and then cleared up. So everything was like really wet and fresh. And then you get in the dune buggies and just go mudding. And you're literally just head to toe covered in mud. And there was an older couple, and that he was wearing like a leisure suit. And she was wearing, I swear to God, like a fresh white dress. And that's what they wore to the dune buggy thing. And everybody was like, oh, what are you thinking? Like, why would you even go on this trip with that? But I don't know. They seemed to have a good time. They were laughing at the end. Just,
yeah, that's all that matters.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun. So what else? What other challenging aspects are there? I guess reading the water and then... you don't have a hard time talking to people. See, I would, I feel like, not that I'm like not a chatty person, but
really?
After
like you have this podcast, I feel like you would be 100% okay with just talking to crew for a little bit.
I'm good for a little bit. I'm good for about an hour and a half. And then after that, I'm like, all right, guys, like I feel like it would get draining having to constantly be on people. Cause I remember even you were like, come on, guys. Come on. You got to keep paddling, you know? And I think we were fine, but I would feel like if it was a group that was all like weak, you know, didn't want to work for it, it'd be just, come on, guys. Holy fuck, this is a chore, you know?
Well, lunch really helps with that.
Absolutely.
So having like a burger halfway through the trip, you're like, okay, I'm happy again. I can deal with that. That really helps.
Yeah, the hanger is real. If people don't eat like a good breakfast before they go, which would be a super foolish mistake, make sure you eat something.
Oh, yeah. People are always way more happy, or in my opinion, after lunch on the second half of the trip.
Yeah.
Just way more smiles. They have food in them.
Yep.
It's like a lot of people are waking up 10 minutes before like they have to be at the resort for the trip, and you're like, okay, I hope you're ready for this.
Yeah, we were pretty shocked when they told us. Not that I didn't expect it, but I figured our trip would be at like 9 o'clock maybe. And then the girl tells us we were checking in and she's like, all right, so you'll be 7:30 orientation. We're like, pardon me? But yeah, it was fine. We were fine. We rallied.
Yeah, we were the first trip out that day.
Yeah.
We were pretty early.
And in retrospect, it was good. And I said that it was good to get it out of the way. Like, I think it wasn't like blistering hot. And then I think later in the day it got overcast and it would have been a little chilly too. Cause it got, I think, super windy and then chilly. And also everybody that came back after that trip, like, disappeared. I'm certain they all went to have naps because everybody that got back was just 100%. Bagged.
I think, yeah, it was someone from the second bachelor party in our boat actually just like slept the entire day after we got back because I ran into like you guys and them at the bar that night.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're missing one. Where'd so-and-so go? And they're like, he's been asleep since about 20 minutes after the bus got back. Yeah,
well, that sounds right. Three of our guys didn't make it either. They all like, we're just going to rest our eyes. And then that was it. And they just didn't get up.
That's the same with me, though. Most of the time after trip, yeah. I'll get back and then I'll get into my cabin and my roommate will be there and she'll be like, oh, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm probably going to take a shower and then go to sleep. And I'll sit down on my bed and just like fall asleep. I completely miss the shower part after being on the river all day. So I feel really bad for my roommate, Alex. Like putting up with me smelling so bad all the time because I will always prioritize sleep over shower, which is not good.
Dude, even today I worked, well, what, 9 to 5, and I came home and I was like, if I put my head down, I'm going right to sleep. So I had to cue this up as soon as I walked in the door and get it prepped and ready to go. But that was the other thing I wanted to ask you about. So I guessed at the living quarters for you guys. Was I right about where you guys live? Do you guys live like up the road there in that little, what it was like?
Yeah, the little trailer park,
yeah.
Tent and cabin area. Yeah, that's where we live.
That's pretty cool. Do you like that?
Yeah, it's not bad. It's so there's, I don't really want to say 50 of us that live there all in different areas. So
that's fun.
You're living with the people, you're working with them. Very little privacy, but a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I mean, what's the average stay there? Do people typically stay for like a year or two or 6 months or?
Like the staff?
Yeah.
Well, we only work in the summer. People that have worked there for like years. Some of the more senior staff have been there for over a decade. Mm-hmm. But then there are only Jesus people that Christ. Will stay for a summer and then leave. So it's very varied.
Mm-hmm.
There was about maybe 20 rookies this year. And I'm not sure how many of us will return next year. It'll all depend. But we had a pretty big rookie class, between 20 and 30 of us.
So what's the situation after? So you guys start when? April or?
We start in May. So I moved in a little earlier. I moved in May 18th, and I don't think rookie training started until June. Okay. So our soft open was May 18th, and we ran a few trips. But our big opening, our like actual season opener, I think was at the start of June.
Okay.
And we'll go right up into the fall for trips. I don't know when our exact end date is, but... Slowly people are starting to leave.
And when is the best time? Like, how are the different times for the water levels and all that? If people are looking for like a more intense trip or a family trip or whatever.
Well, like, you can do a family trip at any time. So we run two different channels of the Ottawa River.
Okay.
We run the main channel, which is what we did on our high adventure rafting trip.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also have the middle channel, which is what we take our family trips on. So
not quite
the main
as intense.
Channel we did has like class 3 and above rapids.
Okay.
And the middle channel has class 3 and below. So you can take a gentle family trip like anytime.
Nice. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then
as for water levels, spring is high water, so you're getting big hits.
Okay.
And like around now we get more low water. But that doesn't actually mean smaller rapids.
Hmm.
So some rapids actually get bigger as like the water gets lower just on based on how it's formed and where it's placed in the river. So our first rapid that we ran, McCoy's, it was one of the biggest hits of the day. Yep. That's actually become larger in the low water, and during high water, it's just a little wave train.
Hmm.
So there's no bad time to go rafting. Yeah. High water, you're getting way more bigger hits, but in low water, you get way more play spots.
And are you guys noticing? I mean, I guess this is your first year, but has anybody said anything about how low the water is this year because how hot it's been? Like, it's been ridiculous this summer.
Yeah, it has been, from what I've heard, it has been a little bit of a low water season, especially since last year with all the flooding.
Mm-hmm.
Around Gatineau and everything. It was a huge high water season. So it was high water almost all summer last year. And this summer has kind of tapered off and hung out around -1 and -2 on our water gauge.
Okay. And so then what happens after you guys? So when does your season end? In September, October-ish, you said?
Yeah, September, October-ish. Wilderness Tours keeps working, though, and keeps training the college trainee guides. Mm-hmm. So there are still people on the river, and there'll still be people kayaking down. I don't know the exact end date, though. I know I keep going right until school starts, though.
So if you're doing, yeah, I guess you would do like a 6-month contract probably. What do most people do afterwards? Like they don't stay at Wilderness Tours. So where do they move on to? Just whatever other jobs or back to school or?
Yeah, a fair amount of them go back to school. And then a huge clump of them actually go out west and work as ski instructors in the winter.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
See, that would be a fun life.
A lot of them all go to the same like area, so they'll work ski snowboard instructor in the winter, and then all come back and work as raft guides in the summer.
What a rad lifestyle.
yeah, it's not bad.
What do you do in the winter?
So I'm still in school. Mm-hmm. I'm in the ODA program at Algonquin College, so I'll actually still be on Wilderness Tours doing more guide training and some rock climbing training as well, just getting a few more certifications. Nice. So I have one more year of college, and then I'm not entirely sure.
What's your goal? Where would you like to end up?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I'm also a yoga instructor, so my end goal would be teaching yoga at like a resort. I'm starting a yoga program for Wilderness Tours, but
cool.
It's a slow takeoff. So
I feel like that would be popular.
Teaching yoga outdoors.
Man, I think, like, I would feel like that would be a super relaxing thing to do after a tour, after a rafting trip, to, like, just kind of unwind after your trip and then, yeah, like, relax a little bit because you're probably pretty amped up and then everybody gets back and you're beat. That'd be a good way to do it. Or first thing in the morning before a trip even, just to get everybody, like, awake.
Yeah, the problem with first thing in the morning for the trips, though, is a lot of people are at the bar the night before.
That's true, yeah. We definitely would not have been making that yoga class. and then, so, oh shoot, what was I going to ask you? Nope, lost it. It's gone forever. Have you ever done the ski instructor stuff, or are you interested in that?
Yeah, I do have my level 1 ski instructor. I got it through the ODA program at Algonquin.
Mm-hmm.
So I might do a little teaching in the future, but to go out west, I think I need a few more certs. But
yeah.
To teach out here, maybe this fall or this winter, we'll see what happens.
That's fun. I'm jealous of that. I don't know, because it seems so like bohemian, that lifestyle, to just kind of go back and forth. Follow the seasons and then follow the work wherever it is, and like always doing something fun and just traveling around with your friends. How do you find it? Do you like it?
Oh, I love it. I can honestly say I've never been more happy happier than I have been in the past year or so. I used to go to university and I worked for the government and like had a cubicle job and thought I was gonna be a journalist for a while. And, like, it was fun, it was good, but after I made the switch into like outdoor adventure, like every day is an adventure and every day is fun. I'm excited to go to work. I'm excited to put on like my wet river shoes that are still not fully dry from the day before, which isn't super great, but I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I found the same thing. My Sperry stayed wet for about a day and a half. But I mean, you're still young. There's still time to be a journalist. Get this out of the way first. You'd have a lot more to talk about once you get like all your adventuring out of the way.
Or maybe write about adventures. That would be the dream.
Adventure journalism. That'd be sick. And so do these qualifications certify you all over the world, or is that something that you'd have to get recertified for elsewhere? So like, could you do this in Europe or in America?
The majority of my certifications are Canada specific.
Mm-hmm.
So our Swift Water Rescue is under Rescue Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all Canada based, but if I were to go over, say if I wanted to work in Chile or New Zealand, I would believe it would be similar to what we would have here. Yeah. So through our rookie training at Wilderness Tours, they recert people with the Swiftwater.
Mm-hmm.
So most companies do their own training. So.
I'm sure, yeah, it'd be like just protocol differences, but I would think the method for saving somebody in whitewater would be pretty similar anywhere in the world. You would think.
Is interesting from, well, it's one of the few rivers I've actually like rafted on. I've only rafted on the Ottawa and a few in Quebec, but mm-hmm. from what I've been told, the Ottawa is really unique in the sense that it's a drop pool river and it has a lot of big hits, so it's relatively safe.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean, a drop pool?
Still stand on how to get out of certain situations.
Yeah. What does drop pool mean?
So if you kind of remember from our rafting time, it was a lot of flat water. Mm-hmm. And then a big hit, so a big rapid, and then it would end in kind of more flat water, almost like a little lake, before right. continuing on to the next rapid. So okay. it's not all continuous stretch. It's hit, and then a little bit of flat.
Right.
Hit, and then a little bit of flat.
Right. And so if you're doing whitewater tours elsewhere in the world, I was thinking about that. Like, I mean, you'd see it on movies and stuff like that, and they seem to be over quite a bit faster. Is that the case most other places? Like, it would be maybe a 1 or 2 hour trip instead of a 5 hour trip?
Maybe. It would definitely be a lot more continuous.
Yeah.
Like, some rivers that'll keep going nonstop with rapids, so.
Fuck, that seems like it'd be exhausting.
I can't speak for that. Wilderness Tours is the only company that I'd work with.
Did you pick... You just mentioned Chile and New Zealand. Did you pick those at random, or are they known for having like good whitewater?
Those are the countries that I know people from. So okay. the Ottawa kind of brings a lot of people from all over the world to do kayaking and rafting. And I have a few friends that I met through work that have flown up from New Zealand and from Chile to work here for the summer. So those were the two off the top of my head.
Okay. Yeah, we all kind of mentioned that there was a lot of people from Australia, it seemed, a lot of people from New Zealand, definitely a lot of accents on the resort. So that's pretty neat that it draws people. You mentioned one person that, where were they? In New Zealand, maybe? And they just got a call and kind of, can you come work for us? And they came over, how do they find these people? Like, does everybody just apply, or do they scout them out, or?
So, the whitewater world is relatively small.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of a niche sport, per se. So, everyone, once you get into it, if you're, like, a whitewater kayaker, everyone slowly starts to know everyone. And that was the same. I had one friend coming up from New Zealand, and we apparently had a raft guide that went down to New Zealand, talked up the place I work to her, and she ended up making her way down here through that. So it's all kind of connected in a weird way.
Yeah. I think everything's kind of like, every job is kind of like that. It's all about who you know. And yeah, I feel like every job I've ever had is because, or every good job I've ever had is because somebody kind of plugged me in. Yeah, it seems like, anyway.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. That's the same with this job. My cousin actually worked as a raft guide for many, many years. And I think having her work, well, no, I know 100% having her work there, and having that same last name, definitely helped me through the door getting a position.
Yeah, 100%. That's how it goes. And so you mentioned on the trip that, I mean, I think you were just joking, but saying how, like, dating is tough as a rafting guide. Is that actually the case?
Yeah. Well, you're in a really, like, kind of remote area. You're seeing the same people over and over again.
Yeah, you
live, you work with these people. So that can be interesting in a sense. There's a lot of, like, people mixing around. But you're seeing the same people, and yeah, it's hard to often meet people outside of your staff, especially like even our guests that are coming through. They're here for one or two nights and they're gone. So
yeah,
it is difficult for sure.
Gossip a little bit. There's a lot of guides sleeping around, isn't there?
No, I don't want to say that. But you are throwing a bunch of 20-somethings together.
Yeah, for sure.
A bunch of cabins.
Say no more.
So there's lots of alcohol. For sure.
Lots of. Hey, I've been in a like an isolated type position before. Shift workers are notorious for that, because that's the only people you, if you're on shift, like if you work at a correctional facility, for example, if you work overnight shifts anywhere, the only people that you work with are the people, like, the only people you interact with, rather. They're the only people you see. So they're the only ones you're going to flirt with. And, yeah, a lot of broken homes because of those jobs.
You can relate, for sure. I still, like, yeah, it's interesting, to say the least.
And where, you said you worked for the government before this?
Well, when I was in school for journalism, I worked out at an ocean research center. So I worked in the tourism department, or was a tour guide for the Department of Fisheries and Oceans out in Halifax. So I was leading tours, but 90% of the time I was sitting in a cubicle organizing the tours. So that was not as fun as being out on the river every day.
Definitely not. What were they, you said it was a research company, what were they researching?
Yeah, so out in Halifax, or actually in Dartmouth on the other side of the Halifax Harbor, is the Bedford Institute of Oceanography, and it's Canada's largest ocean research center. It's actually been open since 1962, and it has like Department of Natural Resources, D&D works out of there, Environment Canada, Department of Fisheries and Oceans. So I would essentially just lead tours throughout the research facility and talk about the research, talk about the whales and the sharks, sea turtles even, all the different types of stuff that was going on there. So it was super interesting. I loved working there, but being inside every day was a little rough. But I can tell you so much about leatherback sea turtles now.
Did they ever find Megalodon?
No, well, okay. So Megalodon, now there is the new Meg movie out with Ruby Rose and Jason Statham. I think that's coming out soon. Yeah. I really, really want to see it.
Same.
But the Megalodon being around now is just, it's not possible. The Megalodon was so big.
Yeah, but
smaller.
But what about deep in the ocean?
Yeah, but it was so big, it was like fairly slow. So other predators, like say an orca, could easily outswim it and catch the prey. It was also living in coastal areas. So if we were to actually still have a megalodon in our midst,
we would have seen it a long time ago. True. But what about those giant squids? Like, they occasionally wash up and they're like 60 feet long and shit.
That is true. So I guess I can't really say.
I mean, maybe.
There's no chance.
Maybe it's down there. But you're probably right. They're probably just.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I'm wrong about a lot of things. So.
What's the craziest thing you've ever experienced on the river?
Craziest thing I've ever experienced on the river.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, I haven't experienced too many crazy things.
Well, when we were on the, no, it wasn't when we were on the bus. They were talking about crawling up on shore because you can get stuck in a shallow water drowning. Did you guys had experienced that? Well, it was a near drowning, I think the week before we arrived, right?
I don't know if there was or not. But that is a big thing. We do often have to warn people about getting their foot caught in rocks or logs. So you teach people never to stand up in whitewater.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do get your foot caught in a log and you fall over, the water keeps pushing you, and you can't stand up.
Yeah.
Actually, part of our like training in school, what we would do is an instructor would attach a rope around our foot, and then like we'd fall over purposely.
Mm-hmm.
In moving water and like try to shimmy our way out, and we weren't in fast moving water at all, and it's still like you're working to get out of there. So that was, that's something we always tell people. If you like feel the rocks and everything coming up at you, if you're, when you're getting to shore, you recreate evolution and you crawl right on up. You do not stand up, whatever you do.
Yeah. And I imagine if you were to stand up and get your foot caught, there would probably be like an immediate panic. So you're not gonna be able to hold your breath very long. Like you're gonna, yeah, that just seems like a bad time.
Yeah, you're not gonna have a good time for sure.
Crawl up on shore, you'll die.
Brings me to another training scenario we did in school is you had to escape your gear when you're trapped underwater as part of our swift water rescue training. And it doesn't sound that bad, just unclipping your life jacket underwater.
Yeah.
But the first time you get pulled under, so our instructors tie a rope to our life jacket. We're sitting in moving water.
Mm.
They step on the rope and we're pulled under.
Oh,
so
wow.
You have to unclip your life jacket, pull your strap and wiggle your way out of there. And the first time I went under, like...
Did you panic?
Pure panic. I don't think I was under there for like 7 seconds, and I put my hand up, I got pulled up, and they're like, okay, take a second, redo your life jacket, you're doing that again. And it's scary, but if you go in with a plan and just be like, okay, I don't have to breathe right away, like I have time.
Yeah, seven seconds sounds weak. If I retold that story, I'd be like, man, I was under 55 seconds before I quit.
Yeah,
but I imagine
when you get pulled underwater, it feels like longer.
No, I know.
Like, yeah, you're under there for 4.5 seconds.
Yeah,
damn.
I imagine, because you're not used to that, and you're underwater, and you feel like you're gonna drown. That's a scary ass feeling. I'm sure that's a lot of people's like worst nightmare is being held underwater. Is absolutely terrifying. Have you had any scary encounters in the water?
It's still my worst nightmare too. My worst nightmare is, like, I hate the idea of swimming rapids, but I have to.
Yeah.
It's part of the job. It's just, you become really good at locking yourself into the boat as you're going down. One scary, well, not really scary because it was in another safe training area is we do whole swims. So just as we were surfing with the boat, that recirculating water, you stick yourself into there to learn how you can escape.
Mm-hmm.
So learning how to tuck yourself into a ball, and the first time I did it, it was terrifying.
It sounds terrifying.
Of it.
The way you described it was like, I was picturing in my head like basically like an underwater cave that it sucks you into and then a hole that it spits you out of, and I was like, Jesus, that sounds awful. That doesn't sound fun at all.
Kind of. So it's recirculating water. So if you, like, it's just water spinning around, going up and down, up and down, up and down.
Right.
And when you tuck yourself into a ball, you become heavier and denser.
Right.
So you'll get sucked down. So below the recirculating water is a slower moving current.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll get sucked into that and then shot out.
Yeah. Cool. So it's like, I'm trying to picture if you created like a whirlpool in a cup or something like that, and then dropped like a piece of paper into it, like a balled up piece of paper, it would get sucked in and spit out, as opposed to like a buoyant cork just kind of spinning around on the surface. Is that?
Yeah, similar idea for sure. Yeah,
cool. Have you had any like near, personally, have you had any like near drowning experiences or anything like that? Probably not, because you're trained, but.
I have not. All the situations I have been have been in safe training situations. And even if, like, on the river, if something were to happen tomorrow, I know the raft guides that I'm with, like, they're all trained, and I trust them a lot. So
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing because my cat is nearly puking right beside me.
Oh, no.
That's fine. You can just hear him in the background, like, hacking up a lung. Have you ever had like a near drowning personally previously in as a kid or anything like that? Because I have, and I thought that was it for me.
What happened to you?
It was something stupid. We were swimming a long time ago at my parents used to have a trailer, so we were at the campground, and we would jump off a rock similar to what we jumped off on the river there, and I jumped in, and we were all kind of horsing around at the bottom, and this girl, a friend of ours, came over and like kind of propped herself up on my shoulders from behind, but by doing that, obviously she pushed me under, and she was like holding me under there. And I don't know if she was joking or what it was, but I was like struggling to get out from underneath her, and I knew pretty much how much air I had in my lungs, so I was like, maybe 15 seconds, I'm getting down to 8 seconds, 10 seconds, 11, and I'm like, this is it. Like, I'm about to pass out underwater. And I swear to God, I was like, I've got about one more good second left before I have to take a deep inhale or I'm going to pass out. And I was right there, and then she let me up, and I took a big gasp. I was like, I swear to God, I was like, this is it. This is how I die. This is where it goes.
See your life flash before your eyes.
No, I was just like, oh, I'm dying like a bitch. Getting held under by an 80-pound girl.
Oh, man.
It was, it was an interesting moment. And then I actually legit almost drowned when I was young. I was like probably 6 years old, maybe a little older. We were at, I don't know if it was Great Wolf Lodge or if it was somewhere in Niagara Falls. And I was playing in a wave pool. And I don't know if I wasn't paying attention to the bell because I was dumb and six. But the wave started and I got knocked. And I think I was wearing like water wings or something, but just had no concept of holding my breath. Just started sucking in water. And they had to do CPR and stuff like that.
Oh,
still,
my God.
Yeah, no fear of water, though. I think I still swim like a fish. I think it's great.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I haven't had any experiences like that, which might be why I'm still okay with being a raft guide.
I like kayaking too, but that sport kayaking seems intense. We were watching them, like they'd roll their kayak and be upside down for, you know, a solid 4 or 5 seconds. I was like, fuck that noise. That looks crazy. How do you not panic in that?
It's so much fun.
It looks like fun, but how do you not panic? Like, you were talking about panicking being held under by a guide, you know, I don't know how you wouldn't freak out if you're like upside down in a kayak with your legs kind of not strapped in, but you know, it's not super easy to get out of.
It's that you teach yourself to calm down, which is definitely something I'm still working on with kayaking.
Mm.
But again, you tell yourself you don't need to breathe right away. And with the whitewater kayaking, if you actually bring your head up first when you're trying to roll back from when you're upside down, you're not actually gonna roll back up because your head's one of the heaviest parts of your body.
Right.
So you actually have to train yourself to be like, okay, I'm fine, I'm gonna be all right, and you bring your head up last.
That makes sense.
So that's how you, so it's not necessarily if you're not scared, it's trusting that you're going to be all right and you know what to do and
having your wits about you and just being like, okay, yeah, stay calm. So how do you roll yourself back over? I imagine with those little, what are they called? Sport kayaks?
Playboats.
Playboats, okay. With those little playboats, because they're so small, I imagine they're a lot easier to roll.
So I've only ever kayaked in playboats, which are really good for the Ottawa River just because you can surf in a wave and do a whole bunch of tricks. There are also creek boats, which are longer and a little more stabler. But how you essentially roll is you're upside down. Oh, so I'm trying to describe this when I don't 100% always have my roll. So this is interesting.
You own your paddle.
You put your paddle beside your hips when you're upside down, and you kind of slap your paddle against the water as you flick your hips and bring your head up last.
Okay. That makes sense.
That's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, so you're like pushing,
head up,
pushing momentum to try and rotate yourself out of the water. I can kind of picture that. That makes sense.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. The best way. And you should try it. It's honestly, it's super scary, but so much fun.
No, I'd love to. I don't know where they. I guess Trailhead here probably rents those. I don't know. I don't know if you can rent those locally, but. It would be
Time. You can take actually kayak school lessons at Wilderness Tours.
Ooh. So
this is another advertisement for the company I work for. So we actually have the Ottawa Kayak School that runs out of Wilderness Tours, and we have professional kayakers that teach people. Like we have, I think, like I'm not part of kayak school, so I don't fully know it, but they have like a you can go for 2 days, you can go for almost a week, and they'll work you up. They'll start you at the beach, get you comfortable in the boat, teach you the basics of rolling, then they'll bring you to a little bit of current, and then they'll bring you to a little rapid. So they'll slowly work you up. So if you're interested in it, just come back and visit me. Well, don't visit me because I don't do kayak school, but come and hang out.
I would love to. That would be a lot of fun. I love kayaking, but like, I don't know. I feel like I would have to, first of all, hit the gym for like 6 months so that I feel confident in my own body to do that. But then also, maybe kayak a little bit more. I only kayak right now, maybe twice a year. So get a little bit more experience, maybe roll a kayak or two.
That's all you need.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, if I went at it with confidence, I could probably manage. It'd be a good time. Are the rocks a big concern? Not necessarily for kayaking at all, but just for rafting in general. Because that was my big concern, I guess, was watching people get tossed out of boats off that first hit. I was like, Jesus, do you not hit rocks and stuff sometimes?
Some rapids you do, but the majority of rapids we run are very, very deep.
Mm.
So if you fall out of the boat, you're generally not going to hit rocks until you're pretty close to shore, but regardless, there are like surprises and the river gods will have their way, so you always keep your feet up. Ottawa's pretty good for that.
Do you ever have anybody get cuts or bruises or anything? Well, bruises, of course, but cuts and stuff like that?
Oh, I have cuts all over my feet just because I wear sandals on the river. And
yeah.
Oh, well, I actually, it's probably not actually from the river. I tend to fall a lot. So the lunch sites are honestly my worst nemesis because I'll be fine all throughout the day. I'll be running across the rafts, like jumping on the seats and everything. And as soon as I hit shore, for some reason, like a rock will come out of nowhere as I'm walking around the lunch site and I'll just fall over.
Yeah, dude, you were like a cat running on those boats. Like I have the worst balance in the world. I don't know if I have an inner ear problem or what it is, but I'm like crawling on all fours across the seats trying to get out of the boat, and you're just like running across the seats in rapids.
Well,
ridiculous.
It's you get used to the boats for sure, and honestly easier walking on the seats and jumping from seat to seat than it is crawling. So
yeah, and I found and maybe it was the shoes I was wearing, but when I got out of the boat, stepping, if I wasn't jumping like right onto dry land, stepping on those wet rocks, God damn it. I almost ate it several times. Jumping out of the boat into the wet rocks.
Yeah. There's been slick. Actually quite a few times where I hop out of the boat before everyone unloads and like go to pull us in a little deeper or a little closer to shore, and I'll be walking all the wet rocks and I'll just fall right over and just, there's no way to look professional after like you fall like and just hit the rocks right after you jump out and you're like, all right guys, so we're at the lunch site and we're gonna get right in the water, and you're like, okay, I'm at professional, this is
yeah, I'm pretty sure you did that when we were at the one stop, the at the big fucking rock.
Yeah, I think so. No, that wasn't you guys, actually. Oh, yeah, that was a bad one.
But, I don't know. I don't think anybody else thought anything of it because it's slippery as hell, man. I think anybody that could happen to.
Oh, yeah. Like, you guys probably didn't think much of it, but, like, no, I was walking all. Up with the other raft guides after. I was like, hey, did you guys see me fall? He's like, and they're like, oh, yeah, of course we did.
For sure, yeah. What's the funniest moment you've had on the river? Anything hilarious happen?
Funniest moment. Mm-hmm. I have to think about it. Because it's like little funny things that'll happen every day.
Yeah.
Can't think of like one big standout. I don't know. It's just, I honestly have a ton of fun surfing people and like getting them in the, or in the raft when the raft stays there and the water's flooding over the rafts.
Yeah.
There's one rapid that we do where you just stick the nose of the raft into like the oncoming water and it'll just hold there and flooding the front of the boat. And it's super funny just being at the back of the raft completely dry, watching the people at the front of the raft.
Panic. Like, did we go through that one?
No, that would be, that's one we tend to do on the middle channel.
Hmm.
So we were kind of side surfing in ours.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty funny. I don't know. There's been a lot of stories of people losing their pants after they fall out of the raft.
That would be the worst.
That hasn't happened to me, thankfully. So.
Yeah, that would be the worst. If you're just wearing shorts and they weren't tied up and then they got sucked off as you got as you fell out of the boat. And then you have to ride the rest of your trip or whatever. I guess tie a... I don't know. What would you do? somebody would have to take their shirt off and tie it around your waist or something.
I don't know. You'd probably do something creative with like the throw bag. So my throw rope, it has there a little bag on that. You'd probably have to do something creative with the rope in the bag.
I bet that nylon rope feels nice. So what else is going on in your life? So you guys are up there isolated. I did not have any cell service the entire time I was there except when I was on Wi-Fi. How do you guys normally stay connected at all?
We mostly stay connected through Facebook Messenger because no reception. The Wi-Fi is mostly reliable, but I feel so bad for my family because my mom will like keep texting me and like whenever she calls, like I don't have my phone, I'm on the river. So it'll be like a few days without messaging her and just like messaging people outside of my little rafting community is hard.
Yeah.
I'm back here in Ottawa with my family for literally 24 hours. And I made a post on like Snapchat or Instagram, like back in Ottawa, blah, 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 trading that life jacket for normal clothes. And I got a flood of messages being like, my friends just be like, hey, let's go for yoga. Hey, let's go for a drink. Hey, let's go for coffee. And I was like, I'm literally here 24 hours. I have time to see my grandma, see my mom, take a nap and, talk on this podcast. This is literally what I'm here for. And then I'm back out. So,
oh, well, thank you. Thank you for making time. That's awesome. I would imagine you probably just want to chill when you get back. Or do you? Do you want to, like, would you rather be, like, would you rather go out and party and stuff like that? Or would you rather relax when you get, like, a day off like this?
There's enough partying on the weekends at Wilderness Tours when it's busy with everyone at the bar. I honestly just want to, well, today I've literally just been sitting in front of the TV watching movies and we're planning a little get together with some family friends tonight with my mom. But
that's nice.
Like, I literally told her, I was like, hey, like I came back to relax and she had like this whole day planned. She's like, we're gonna go see your grandma in the morning, which like we did. And she's like, we're gonna go out, like we can get your eyebrows done because you know, this is literally every time I come home, I was like, you should get your eyebrows done. You should cut your hair. You should
dye. Harsh.
Like, I wear a helmet and like My hair is not the concern right now. It's like, then we'll go down, we'll run some errands, and then we'll come back. It's hilarious. Make dinner, we'll have a bunch of people over, and then we'll go to a movie. I'm like, okay.
Speaking
we'll
of
do a bit of half of that.
Speaking of partying, though, you must have your pick at the resort, because it was our experience that it's a sausage fest up there. Like that Friday night, I remember being up on the deck, and it was like 9-to-1 ratio, guys to girls. And it was hilarious to watch. Because we were just kind of chilling off to the side, and it'd be like one girl would come up on the deck, and it's like just sharks circling, just predators. Like, hey,
it's not always like that, but the weekend you were there, it was a ton of bachelor parties.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Like, makes sense, I think, because I feel like, and not to be sexist, but I feel like it's more of a bachelor party type thing to do, whereas it's typically not like your average girls' weekend out would be like, let's, you know, get six girls together and go for a trip on the rapids, which I'm sure happens a lot, but disproportionately probably bachelor parties, right?
Well, my girlfriends, they come up for, or I'm trying to get them to come up for rafting, and they seem stoked, but
I think it'd be fun. Like, yeah.
Pardon?
I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be fun for anybody to do, but I would think statistically, it's probably more of a guy's thing.
Oh, yeah. Even, like, we do get bachelorette parties, but, bachelorette parties, but majority, we do get a lot more bachelor parties, although I don't know for sure. I don't work in the office or reception, but
yeah.
Just based on the boats I have had on high adventure trips, I tend to see a lot more guys.
Yeah. Judging by my 24 hours that I was there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But even with the raft guys, there are a lot of guys that do this. And
yeah, for
there
sure.
There are a lot of girls that are raft guides as well, but there's not as many doing high adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, are you the only, no, there was maybe two, right? Female rafting guide?
Yeah, I think we had myself and one other girl on that trip.
Right.
So it's so cool when we have like majority girl raft guide trips, because it hardly ever happens.
Yeah.
A lot of the times, the past couple trips I've been on, it will only be myself and one other girl. So it is or at least what I've seen, there are a lot of guys in this general area.
So if there's any females listening and they're interested, get after it, because there's a niche to be filled. Get in there.
Oh yeah,
do it.
I'll wingman you at the bar.
Do you find it challenging that being like one of the only females in a job like that?
Not really. I grew up with a twin brother, so
oh yeah,
I'm naturally like, I don't find guys that intimidating, and in fact, like, I wrestle a lot with the guys. I do a little bit of jujitsu during the school year. So,
nice.
Like, I'm one of those girls that are like, all right, let's go, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, so you seem pretty comfortable with a group of 12 guys that were pretty, like, a little crass. We were a little abrasive, for sure.
Yeah.
But it was fine. You were taking it, like, in stride and giving it back to us, for sure.
Oh, so, yeah. You learn to throw it back at their face. And especially with your crew, you had a ton of, like, tall guys. And you didn't mention this in the podcast, but I'm tiny.
Yeah.
I'm only 5'2".
Yeah, Annika's
so
shorter than me.
So a lot of these guys were a foot taller than me, and I had to tell them what to do. So it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. Well, and a couple of them were, like, not pulling their weight, as I said earlier. God damn it, that was frustrating. We're trying to get, like, a stride going. And the person in front of me just stops paddling after like three strokes. Matt, I'm calling you out. Get your work on your paddling,
Matt.
Boy.
Yeah. Have to, or at least in that case, I call people out on that in like kind of a joking,
yeah,
funny way.
Yeah, you did it really well. Did they read that note out? My brother's note that he left you?
Oh my God, I died. Okay, so for those that don't realize, we get tip cards, and if people write a comment card or give us a tip, it gets put in an envelope. And at the end of the week, my boss goes through all the envelopes and reads them out, like reads what's written on the outside of the envelope to every guy that's at this guy meeting. Now, normally it'll just be names. They'll be like, all right, Bob, Fred, Hank, here's your tips. and occasionally someone will write something else. And did I tell you about people writing other things on there, or how did you figure that out?
You said that they will read whatever we write on the envelope. So
yeah,
at the end of the trip, the guide leader. Is that what they call
them? Yeah,
okay.
The trip leader
gives you the orientation beforehand, and then they do you like a debriefing afterwards. And they mention how if you want to give a tip, there's envelopes, and then there's a survey that you can do just to say how the experience was. They have feedbacks, so they can make changes and stuff. And then they give you an envelope, and on the envelope, Annika told us that whatever we write, they'll read out in their meetings on Fridays. So carry on.
Yeah, I have the envelope in my cabin, but oh, it was so bad. I knew exactly, like, as soon as my boss, like, paused, he was like, Annika, and then a pause, and then he was reading it. I knew right away, because in one of the Instagram comments, I think your brother wrote, like, something about, like, this comment card, and I was like, oh, no, it's these guys. But what was written on it was, Annika, I'm keeping the baby. I won't ask you to help me raise it, but our illegitimate child will be forever, like, forever a memory of the night we shared together in our pod. And I'm just sitting there like, oh, my God. And everyone's, like, looking at me. I was like, oh. Like, it was super funny, but I was dying.
Was it dead silence, or did it get roars?
It was a good roar. It was a good roar.
That's hilarious.
It was awesome. It was, like, that's the exact kind of humor that often happens around here.
That's wicked. And so do you guys, this is a little sensitive, do you guys get paid well, or is it mostly on tips?
We do get paid, but tips are very much appreciated.
And was I correct in saying that you guys get paid per trip?
Yeah, we get paid per trip. So we're not salary. Every trip we have is what we get paid. And a lot of our guides, or most of them, have onshore jobs as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll guide during the day, then go bartend at night or go work in the office.
Makes sense, but God, that was off-putting, because you're like, wait, wasn't that person like doing this job earlier? Now they're slinging drinks? It seems very strange. I was talking about this at work the other day. I used to work at a hotel, and it was it's not similar in that sense, but so I was a porter at a hotel, and they would also have me doing maintenance. So like I would get a maintenance call for a room, go in and plunge their toilet, and then half an hour later they'd order room service and I would deliver their food. And I always hated that, because I was like, do you know how disgusting and unprofessional that is to have me delivering food to the same place and I just plunge the toilet or whatever? It was brutal.
Yeah, that's bad. I don't think I would leave a good Yelp review. No, on for sure.
So you guys get paid per trip. And then when you have a certain number of trips, do you get like an increase in pay?
So there's different first-year guides get paid like a first-year rate. And
okay.
As you become more senior staff, I believe it goes up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can you...
But it's... You definitely don't get into the outdoor industry because you're looking for money and you want the Rolls Royce.
That was going to be my question. So, like, is this a job where it's viable long term? Can you make a living on this? Can you have a family doing this? Or it's okay to say no. I mean, some people that's not for them, right?
Yeah, if you are looking to raise a family on that, I don't know. I'm hopefully far off from having a family at
not according
this rate.
To my brother.
But based on what I do know, you really have to work, or you have to be doing this on the sides if it's going to be long term, or work your way up in the company, be it senior staff. For the first couple of years, or especially first year, you're not making a lot because you have to buy all your equipment.
Oh, wow.
You have to buy your life jackets, your throw bags, helmets.
Wow. So you guys had to buy all that?
Yeah.
Wow. So
all the gear we have on us is personal. And once you get in this industry, like, you want to get into kayaking, you want your own mm-hmm. kayak, that costs money. And then you want a new life jacket, that costs money, or you dented your helmet too many times, and that costs money. So it adds up. And
yeah, for sure.
It's not cheap.
No, adventure gear like that is not cheap. Like, how much does a decent kayak run you? $1,200?
It gets up there if you're looking at one of the new models, for yeah. sure. I bought my kayak used, and it was still a couple $100.
So. Yeah. And then, I mean, even the safety gear, I imagine, is pretty pricey. So tip your rafting guides is the moral of the story, I think.
Yeah. If you do go on a raft trip and you like your guide, a tip is always appreciated. Or even just a drink at the bar. That's always
there nice. You go. Don't let them pay for their own drinks. Done. That seems like a good place to end this. We've been talking for like an hour now. Do you have anything else you want to like plug? Or are you working this weekend?
Yeah, I will be working right up until the school year starts. So... you don't even have to come rafting with me. Just check out your local rafting company. I am impartial to my own company, that's for sure. But if anyone's looking for a fun adventure, whether it's high adventure or you want a gentle family trip, come hang out. It's a good time.
And when is the best day of the week to come rafting? Like, I mean, I suppose it doesn't matter, but like, when do you see most popular? Is it Saturdays, obviously?
Yeah, weekends are really busy, and weekends are a good time if you want to, like, hang out for a few days. So we often have bungee jump open on the weekends, and bar is always the busiest on the weekends. But if you're just coming up for the day, you can come up during the week, and it tends to be a lot smaller trips. You almost get, like, a private kind of tour down the river, and, yeah, so any time's a good time to come rafting. Right. Even in the rain, I had a trip in the rain the other day, and it was so much fun. The water was warm.
Yeah, I think the Sunday that we were leaving, it was dumping rain when we were just as we left.
Oh yeah, and it's even fun then. So there's no.
Yeah, it seems like if you were interested in the adventure part of it, it seems like during a torrential downpour would be the time to do it. It seems like it'd be a lot of fun.
As long as there's no lightning. It definitely makes it way more intense.
Yeah, for sure. So how can people get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with you?
If they want to get in touch with me personally.
If you invite that. If you don't want to tell them, that's fine too.
Yeah, sure. you can always check me out on Instagram. I post some adventure photos. I have a little bit of ice climbing, a little bit of rock climbing. And there, of course, is a lot of whitewater rafting. It's just Annika Bunkus. So AnnikaBunkis. But if you're looking just to come rafting, just check out Wilderness Tours. And if you want to request me as the guide, that always looks good on me. So
so everybody request Annika Bunkus. She'll give you a good trip. And I am at Scott Fridella or at Into the Void Podcast. Next week, we'll be back. I don't know who we're getting yet. I'll figure it out. We'll see. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Annika. This has been fun. We'll see you next week. Bye.